catchy song. It's a catchy song. We'll be back with more fun on The Morning Show.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Millions of people along Florida's Gulf Coast are bracing for a direct hit from Hurricane Milton, just back down to a Category 4. Many have followed orders to evacuate, but not this woman south of Tampa Bay.
I don't have anywhere to go, and I'm afraid to get stranded somewhere on the interstate. And you run out of gas. What do you do?
FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell assuring federal officials are capable of handling the hurricane aftermath. She tells CBS,
we start to repurpose some of our steady state employees from headquarters, but we also move people around from non-critical life-threatening offices to support the immediate needs.
Supreme Court hears arguments today in a case of a death row inmate. Legal contributor Caroline Polisi.
Republican members of the Oklahoma legislature have come out strongly supporting SCOTUS's reversal of this Oklahoma State Court decision.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A little more than half of Wisconsin students who took the state's main standardized test last spring met or exceeded grade level expectations in English, language, arts, and math. But it's hard to compare the results of last year's forward exam because the Department of Public Instruction changed the scoring system. Lead pipes cause all kinds of health problems for Americans. In Wisconsin yesterday, President Biden announced a new rule to require local water systems to get rid of their lead pipes in 10 years.
Saving hundreds of thousands of mothers and infants from low birth weights and children with lasting brain damage. Protecting more than 1,000 adults from premature death from heart disease every single year because of lead.
The president was in Milwaukee yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The first open house for the Wisconsin Rapids Downtown Master Plan is tonight. You're welcome to attend at McMillan Library from 5 to 7 p.m. Tomorrow, there'll be two opportunities, at the Ground Up Coffee House from 8 to 10 and at Bee's Tap House from 5 to 7. On Friday, the last open house will be at Ground Up again from 8 to 10. At least four deer have been found dead in nearby counties. The DNR confirms the deer in Chippewa, Jackson, and Waukesha have tested positive for the virus that causes epizootic hemorrhagic disease, or EHD. The virus is spread between deer by midges. The virus does not infect humans. Signs of EHD in deer include excessive salivation and weakness. If you find a sick or dead deer, email dnrwildlifeswitchboard@wisconsin.gov or call 608-267-0866. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Mostly sunny today with a high right around 70 this afternoon. And the wind today generally light out of the east. Clear tonight, 37. Tomorrow, sunny, 72. On Friday, partly cloudy, 78. But our highs are going to drop into the 50s to low 60s by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James J. I am joined by our co-host, Seth Haphagger.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a good one out there. We got some entertainment news to kick off the hour with. We'll be getting into what's going on there and some new theater stuff, some local theater stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to get into another one with you, Seth, with what celebrity could you never hate?
What celebrity could you
okay,
never meet?
We got to be careful with that one.
Yeah.
We got to be really careful with that
one. Yeah, yeah. That's going to be an interesting one.
That could change.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It has a few times, recently.
Nobody has brought this up but me. I don't think anybody remembers this but me. But I went on the air like, this is going back to when Carl and I were doing, or no, I think Bob and I were doing the show.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know if it was her birthday or whatever came up, but Ellen came up. And we're like, well, that's just a sweet human being. You know, look at everyone. She's a real nice person.
That's exactly who I was thinking of.
Wow, did we get that one wrong? Yeah. I think a wonderful individual who I really hope is never canceled,
yep.
Carrie Underwood.
Yeah.
Big fan of Carrie Underwood. Mm-hmm. And did you ever wonder how much she gets paid every time Sunday Night Football plays?
Oh, royalties. Ooh, I'm curious.
Royalties, for like actors, for reruns, like Seinfeld will take.
Yep.
I've heard Jason Alexander joke about this, that every once in a while he'll get a check for like $24. Because, every time it plays, you get like a quarter or something
that. It's not a huge amount, right?
Yeah. And that's usually how it works for actors. Even the biggest names and the biggest mm-hmm. shows of all time, that's the way it just kind of works out. With musicians, it's not that different, but usually can be a little bit better.
Right, right.
And they don't play the
songs.
And
it all depends on the contract, too, that they are under as well, yeah.
Well, get you an agent like Carrie Underwood has, because she gets paid $1 million every time the theme song for NBC's Sunday Night Football plays. $1 million every time.
Oh, my gosh. That is the greatest agent ever.
Yeah. Now, that salary was for the entirety of the 2023 season, so we don't know what she makes for any of her seasons before that. So
right.
This may just been a new thing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
With 18 weeks in the NFL season, that means that Carrie will make $36 million between this year and last. And she hasn't even negotiated a raise for the season or anything. They just upped her. They rose her up.
Wow.
She didn't ask for more money. They just rose her up. And she mentioned that she does the recording for each year all at once, too. She
right.
said, mm-hmm. quote, I do the whole main version, but then we go through and pick up all the matches
yep.
for the regular season and playoff football. And then I sing every possible combination of teams that could possibly maybe play each other.
Whoa.
Even if in the back of your mind, you're like, oh, they ain't never going to make it to the playoffs. or they never would. She still does.
She's got it just in case. Just in case.
The Indianapolis Colts are going to the, How cool is that? That she's been doing this since 2013. I didn't realize she's been doing it that long either.
That's over a decade. Wow. My goodness. Hey, I'm more power to her. My goodness.
I mean, yeah.
That
yeah.
also goes to show how much money that NBC is making on Sunday Night Football.
Yes.
They are making tons of money.
There is one industry in the world that is printing money right now, and it is the NFL.
Yeah.
Man, that is incredible. just as incredible of a story, in honor of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, Jenna Fisher, you know her as Pam from The Office, revealed that she had beat the disease.
Really?
In an Instagram post, she said she was diagnosed last December, but after surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation, she is now cancer-free and feeling great.
Excellent. That's awesome. Glad to hear that.
She added, quote, I lost my hair during chemotherapy, but thanks to some great wigs and hats with hair, which my family affectionately called wiggets, I have been able to wait until now to reveal all that has been going on for me. She also urged women to get checked, mm-hmm. saying, quote, if I had waited 6 months longer, this could have been much worse.
Yep. Absolutely.
And she referenced the scene from The Office where Michael Scott told her to get her breast checked because they're, quote, ticking time bombs, which is a hilarious moment.
Oh, my God.
I'm a big fan of Jenna Fisher's. Mm-hmm. I've wondered for years why she doesn't work more.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's certainly talented enough.
Right.
And certainly coming out of The Office, she could have,
Yep.
NBC wanted to do a spinoff of Jim and Pam.
I remember hearing about that. Yeah,
they were both too popular to nail down for a schedule. Like, especially Jim Kaczynski. John Kaczynski was working.
Yeah,
so
forget
much.
It now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he's really busy.
I don't know how much her health played into it. I know she is a full time mom and loves doing that. But I'm just happy for her. Happy to hear that.
Yes,
and,
it's very good. Yeah.
Whether it was her or any other woman out there, we are fighting for you, looking
yes.
out for you, thinking of you. Please get checked.
Please get checked, everybody.
We've lost too many. Mm-hmm. I know that I lost my grandmother to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a close one. That one hits home. So here's an interesting one, Seth, that we're going to get into in just a moment here. I wanted to touch on another interesting story right before that. I have talked some trash about John Mellencamp over the years.
A little bit.
Just a little bit, more off air than on air, but yeah, it's a little bit here and there and everything. I've also tried to give him credit as a songwriter and as an artist, and certainly
just celebrated a birthday. Yeah,
a lot more hits than I have and everything. but I read a story recently, and I wasn't going to read it, and I was like, oh, I'll give it a check. And it was from People Magazine about John Mellencamp and his kids, and that's what pulled me in because it was about his kids. Sure. I'm like, okay, well, maybe this will make him because I had a bad run in with the guy. Maybe
this is not a very good.
You know, maybe this will smooth things out for me.
It ain't, right. You know, he doesn't care about you.
No,
but yeah.
No, he has no idea who I am. None. Nor should he.
No.
So long story short, and you can find the complete article if you like at people.com. But he recently went to go see his one of his oldest daughter, I believe. And she is the mother of three. And he wanted to bring the kids birthday presents. And they were talking about birthdays and everything. And, quote, John Mellencamp does the same thing for his kids every birthday.
Hmm.
Every birthday, he's done the same thing their whole lives. Quote, my dad's tradition is that on our birthday present every year is that he pays you the amount of dollars that you are. So for her her youngest daughter, she turned 12 and he gave her 12 bucks. it does have a limit, apparently. 43 is the limit, apparently. Like, he ain't going to go higher than 43, but he gives his kids, like, their dollar amount of whatever age they turn. Yeah, I don't know if that's silly, fun, interesting, or just privilege. I don't know.
I don't know, although it's like... John, you could afford a lot more than that. I mean, you're a very successful artist. I mean,
there's a couple directions you can go on that one. But I thought it was interesting.
It's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. But that is kind of interesting. It's like, yeah, here's your $43. You know,
this one might be more interesting, and I almost demand audience participation on this one because this is one everybody can relate to in one way or another.
All right,
715-424-2600, just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app. Is there a right age to start watching scary movies?
Oh.
2,000 Americans were surveyed, and 65% said that they saw their first one before they were 11 years old.
Wow.
60% agree that watching your first scary movie at a slumber party is a rite of passage.
Okay.
Since we are in the midst of spooky season, how many scary movies have you watched? On average, Americans watch about only five during Halloween time, and about 23% say that they watch about 10 or more a year.
Okay.
The survey also revealed that the favorite snack to eat during spooky movies are popcorn, followed by chips and pizza, and 7 out of 10 people like to have a bowl of candy there while they're watching a horror movie.
Well, especially for, you know, there's something about the whole Halloween thing, the connection with horror and candy and sweet stuff. There you go. That makes sense.
Another trick and this may not work for everybody, but a lot of people that this does tend to work for. If you're not a fan of horror movies, but your friends are, your significant other or whatever, or you just want to watch this particular horror movie or something, but you're not great with horror movies, having candy or having your favorite snack nearby can almost trick your brain. Your dopamines are getting pleasure and getting enjoyment out of this food, this candy or whatever, while you're watching intense horror or whatever on the screen. And the actual physical part of that, taking that in, is going to overpower what your eyes are seeing.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm not scientifically wording this right or anything.
I know what you're saying.
Because I'm not smart. But
the concept is correct.
And it works. Yeah. It works. I mean,
that's why you get candy after the dentist. Or the one that for kid, if you have like you skin when you're a kid, you skin your knee. Here's a sucker.
Yep.
The reason is because the sugar helps the pain with the pain. Yeah.
So I mean, there's a neat little life hack for you if you do.
Yeah.
You got to watch those. But how young were you out there or you, Seth, when you saw your first scary movie? 715-424-2600.
Man, when I was a kid, I didn't like horror at all. It freaked me out. I didn't like it. If I saw a trailer do a horror movie, it would bother me kind of thing. Nowadays, I am a fan of just classic horror.
Yeah.
The classic stuff. Back from the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, even the cheesy, you know, 50s cheapo horror movie. Those I love. I love those kind of stuff. Yeah, that kind of stuff. I don't like gore, you know. I'm not bothered by it. It's just I'm not interested in watching gore stuff. It's like, whatever. I know that's it doesn't really work, you know. It doesn't look that good anyway. But if I were to choose, you know, more of the suspenseful stuff, like you've talked about before, you know, it could have horror elements to it, but if they create that sense of dread, that kind of thing. Psycho is a great example of that.
Yes.
It can be, it's called a horror movie because it can be considered that, but it's much more, you know, a thriller because of, you know, the tension through that first part of the movie is so strong.
I think almost anything Hitchcock did, you know, stands out
to a greater
like
or lesser
that.
Extent, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And certainly is a true horror to me. Like anybody could do a jump scare. Anybody can do that.
Especially with a movie, it's
you
easy to
You open the
do.
Refrigerator door, and then you shut the door, and the boogeyman's there or something. Like, anybody could do that. Blood and gore, anybody could do that, especially nowadays with special effects and all those things. They could pull off anything, and anything could, like, there's a difference to me of gross and scary.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, to me, the gross doesn't interest me at all.
No, not really.
It's scary. I can be intrigued by that, but you got to really nail it, and there are very, very few that do. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, to me, what is scary is suspenseful.
It's not. That tension that they can ratchet up. Yep.
Whether it was having my Nana watch The Shining, having me watch The Shining with her at 7,
right.
Which kind of like numbed me to these movies quite a bit, or just growing up in a violent atmosphere, and even just having a brain that dissects this stuff. I can't watch a 30-second commercial and not, the editing choice that they made there was quite interesting. I don't know why they did that. My brain dissects this stuff.
Right.
It's not healthy. When I'm watching a horror movie, half the time I'm wondering, how much Kensington Gore did they use? Or did they use Kensington Gore, or did they use just water and they redded it down? Or because of the lighting. A lot of the old horror movies actually got away from using Kensington Gore, which we use in theater.
Yeah.
But they tried to, in the early days, use that, and it was too dark.
It looked muddy-like
and everything. Mm-hmm. So they would tend to use just food-colored water, even in black and white movies, just to give that. That's the stuff that my brain thinks of while the monster is chasing
you. Well, how did they do this scene, right? Yeah.
So I am an outlier. I am not the person to go to for these movies or anything. But I do, because of that, I think also have a spot in this where I can really dissect these things and kind of I think that there's a big difference of what are you looking for? You're looking for the slash film, you know, the movie that we've all seen where the boogeyman is 5,000 miles away, the girl trips, and all of a sudden he's right there. Like, where's that technology? I want that technology. Let's get on that.
It's gotten to the point where now they're remaking parodies they did. Yeah. Of the horror, I mean, it's like, whoa, okay, well, so this means that these are like beyond tropes now. They're ingrained in the culture. You know, even if you don't watch horror movies, you know what's going to happen.
What was the first scary movie you saw? How old were you? 715-424-2600. We'll keep this one going all month long as we celebrate Halloween.
The first one, it's not really a scary movie, but there's scary moments in it. And I remember the first time because I saw it in theaters and there were parts that freaked me out. Ghostbusters.
Oh, okay.
Really? I mean, which is, you know, it's a comedy. It's not really, it's supposed to be. But there are parts of it that are pretty scary, especially if you're younger.
Yeah.
So that's the one that stands out.
The end of the movie with Zulu or whatever, everything, the dog and stuff, like that was messed up.
Yeah.
And seeing Rick Moranis and Sigourney Weaver almost kiss, that is pretty, that's pretty rough. To that same extent, actually, I thought you were going to say Gremlins. Because I thought Gremlins, like I go back and watch some of that now, and I don't know how that old lady in the chair and everything, like, man, like some of the stuff they got away with back then.
That's pretty rugged. I didn't see Gremlins till many years later, probably because of that. Because I thought it's gonna be like Ghostbusters. I don't want to see it. You know,
there were some parts of Gremlins that were pretty creepy, pretty weird.
Well, I like both movies now. In fact, I'm a big fan of Ghostbusters. But yeah,
oh, it's a classic. Mm-hmm. It's a classic. Don't cross streams. Don't cross the streams. Let's take a call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Not a big fan.
Yeah.
I would have to say my first.
Hello?
Oh, did we lose him?
Oh, Kev, did we lose you? Oh.
He must have dropped. Something happened.
We must have dropped out. Yeah. Oh, call back, man.
Call back, Kevin.
Oh, we're in suspense. Now we got our favorite suspense movie.
Will he call back?
What was he going to say?
I don't know.
What was he not a big fan of? Horror movies or Ghostbusters? I don't know. I have follow-up questions. Call back. 715-424-2600.
Oh, there.
There
did we get him? Did we get him back
here?
On.
Let's see. Are you back, Kev?
I'm back.
Okay.
I don't know what it is.
Technology.
Cell service is awesome.
Yeah. What were you going to say, man?
So, I mean, I don't know if you heard that. I said Friday the 13th is probably one of the scariest movies I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big fan of them. I'm just not.
Yeah.
I mean, Gremlins kind of, when I was at that age, when Gremlins first came out, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. The scary parts to it. Yeah.
You know? But me and my girlfriend, she loves scary movies, and when all the new ones come out, she'll spend time with her daughters, and they'll watch scary movies all night. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm just not a big fan.
You can
watch all the gore and scary movies you want. I won't watch them.
It is overwhelming to me the amount of women I know that love horror movies compared to men.
Mm.
It is like 10 to 1 by
That's
far and away.
Fascinating.
By far and away, mm-hmm. More women I know that love horror movies than men, including my own mother, who is just a huge fan of.
I was gonna say she's a big Stephen King fan, so that would do it.
But I know very few men that are like, oh, I got to see the new horror movie, or I got to see. Like I know a couple, but that's it. Whereas like I've met many many women that love horror and everything. That's interesting. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
that's an interesting point.
You know, and then, you know, the times that, you know, I was growing up and hunting season came along, and my uncle would tell me, okay, just walk straight that way, and then you'll run into your tree stand. It's like my heart's going 100 miles an hour,
mm-hmm.
and it's like dark out. You hear funny noises, and you walk a little faster, you know. I mean, I think, like I said, I'm just not a big fan. If she really wanted me to watch one with her, I mean, I might watch the Halloween movies with her. I mean, I watched a couple of those when I was growing up, and they're not that bad, but I won't go out of my way.
Yeah, I don't know. Real life has always been a little bit more scary to me than anything they could really
anything
come
they can
up
throw
with,
up there on the
know,
screen. Yeah,
and I got to be honest here too. So many of these movies, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, a lot of these movies, they didn't involve like me and my friends. Like they were always in the suburbs. They were always in these like richer neighborhoods or a bunch of kids getting to go to camp. Like we couldn't afford that.
You couldn't relate, right?
I felt very detached from these people. I didn't really feel like a connection to these people until Candyman came out. Candyman is
that's more urban horror.
Man,
yeah,
that movie took place in Cabrini Green.
Yeah,
like, that ain't right. You know how many problems we got in Cabrini Green? It's not there
anymore.
And
now anymore, you got this,
and then you throw that in there. Like that ain't right, man. That's not cool. You got enough issues in Chicago. You don't need Candyman running around with the hook. They don't need that. That ain't right. Kev, appreciate you. Save that voice for Playmakers, man.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
You too. Safe travels out there. Safe travels. The last part of this that I wanted to touch on, mm-hmm. and we'll go to break. What age is the right age to...
We never got to that, did we?
For a person to see. I thought that was one of the more interesting questions because, again, I'm an outlier, and I am the opposite of what you should do with your child.
Right.
Like, I had a perfect grandmother. I love my Nana. Miss her every day. There's no reason in the world I should have been 70 years old seeing The Shining.
No. 100%.
No reason. So I'd like, just from my own perspective, 7's not a good age.
That seems a little young to me.
A little older.
If you got to get to the point where they are able to say they want to.
Yeah.
Then I think you're good. Then I think because ages differ for people. Some kids can handle younger than other kids. You know, it's all about, you know, how mature and all that stuff they are. But I would say let them just, and then, I mean, of course, you're going to say, you know, yeah, no, I don't want you to watch Hostel, you know.
You're right,
We'll avoid that. But you could watch this, you know, that kind of thing.
I do think that this is like a lot of other things, too, though. If you get the chance to watch a scary movie with your kid, and easing them into the genre or whatever and being able to do it with them could help a lot.
I'm going to say Roger Corman. That's all I'm going to say.
Nice.
Watch some Roger Corman movies.
Wow. Yeah.
They're not good, but they're fun.
Yeah, they are fun. That's a great point. The wild movies. We'll be back with more fun on The Morning Show.
Bringing a house. Tulsa Pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes, inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin hits the road to take on the Scarlet Knights. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Sometimes people change, and not always for the better. Take Senator Tammy Baldwin. What happened? She's been in D.C. for 25 years. Extreme left-wing groups have showered her with campaign cash, and now she's siding with them. Baldwin supported puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. That's extreme. And Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men who claim to identify as women, making survivors of domestic violence sleep in the same building as men. That's just cruel. Tammy Baldwin used to share our values, but a quarter century in Washington has made her just too extreme for Wisconsin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Mostly sunny today with a high right around 70 this afternoon, and the wind today generally light out of the east. Clear tonight, 37. Tomorrow, sunny, 72. On Friday, partly cloudy, 78. But our highs are going to drop into the 50s to low 60s by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
It's a must. You've got to have this.
Gotta have this one.
Well done, man. Well done.
In the cool of the evening when everything is getting kind of groovy.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Seth and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us. Hope you're having a good one out there. After our news break, Seth and I are going to get into what celebrities could you never hate? Want to hear from you on that one, 715-424-2600.
Curious to see what the list they came up with. That'll be interesting.
What was your first scary movie? Get that one to us as well, everybody.
Yes.
Want to hear from you. Right now, Mega Millions lottery officials have announced some interesting news. Mega enhancements, which will launch next April. Okay. And the biggest one is a steep price increase. The cost of a ticket will jump 150%.
Whoa.
From $2 to $5. So the Mega Millions lottery ticket is going to be jumping from $2 to $5 in next April.
That's a big jump.
That is a big increase.
Yes, it is.
Mega Millions says it's totally worth it because you're going to win more.
Of course.
They claim the higher price will include, quote, improved odds to win the jackpot, bigger jackpots more frequently, larger starting jackpots, faster growing jackpots, a built-in multiplier on every play, automatically improving non-jackpot wins, up to $10 million for matching five white balls. I have no idea the words I'm saying.
I was going to say, that it sounds very foreign.
no break-even prizes, meaning what? That when a player wins, they'll always win more than the cost of the ticket.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
All right.
The press release says, since Mega Millions launched in 2002, it has produced six winners of billion-dollar jackpots. Since the game change in 2017, more than 1,200 players have become millionaires, an average of three per week. An official named Joshua Johnston, that's just a difficult name, says the price surge is still... Well, come on, man. Your last name's Johnson. You're going to name your kid Joshua.
Don't do it.
He says, quote, spending $5 to become a millionaire or billionaire, that's pretty good. You pay $5 for Starbucks. Mega Millions didn't specifically specify what the improved odds will be, but the current odds of winning are set at 1 in 302.6 million.
Terrible odds, but yes. Yeah.
More specifics are coming, but two things aren't changing. You can still only play Mega Millions in 45 states.
Mm-hmm.
You can't buy a ticket in Utah, Nevada, Hawaii, Alaska, or Alabama. And Powerball will stay at $2 for most tickets.
Okay.
I understand Utah, Nevada, and Hawaii, and Alaska. I'm not sure why Alabama you can't. I want to look into that.
I'm guessing, I don't know if they have like a prohibition against gambling of certain types. It could very well be. I don't know either.
But, I'm just curious.
Me too.
Because that seemed different why that one wouldn't. Mm-hmm. I know why the others don't. I'm interested in that. I admitted many times, gambling is not my thing. I have risked enough in life. I don't need to be, you know, paying somebody to you know, take chances or anything. I do love the idea of seeing, you know, them hopefully doing what they're saying here and increasing the odds for people to win and all that. And I do think that that's a fine point. Well, you pay $5-$10 for a cup of coffee. Why not, you know, go ahead and spend $5 on this? I get that. But I'll say that's not the person I'm worried about. That's not the people that I'm focused on with this, because there's a lot of people. The majority of people that I saw buying lottery tickets when I worked at a gas station for 3 years, the majority of people doing that were people that could not afford to do that.
Yeah.
And people that there were so many people I talked to, and they would be very honest about this. This was their retirement idea, because there was no way they were going to be able to retire.
Exactly.
So taking a chance on this was the closest chance they had at that.
That's kind of sad to think about.
And it's so much of our workforce. It's so much of our workforce.
So much.
And so many, even people that aren't struggling, people that are just on that slim margin of their one thing away from being maybe in a struggling situation,
right,
are looking at this as, this is the only way we can retire, or this is the only way we might be able to enjoy our life a little bit, is making big on this, that risk, that chance, is not as intense or by any means as Shirley Jackson's The Lottery, but it's a little bit too close to it for me. It's a little too close.
They're
to
parallels.
It for me.
Yeah,
there are too many parallels for me in that regard. I can't help it. That don't seem right to me, and that's not the society that I think were supposed to build here.
It's the question. You know, we have spent for so many decades, and since the founding of the country, gambling in general was considered as wrong. It was against the law. You couldn't do it unless it was sanctioned by certain things, state lottery, that kind of thing. Now the doors are basically wide open, especially with sports gambling now. Which is like the Wild West, if you ask me. I mean, we don't even know what's going to happen with that. And the fact it's never been easier to place like a bet,
man,
on online, any kind of stuff, online poker. You've got easy ways to do sports betting. Whew. I mean, I don't really think that making gambling illegal is the answer, but we need to keep reviewing this, see what the best ways to go about this are.
Whether it is because of people with addiction, or it is people struggling, or just keeping these things in check.
Yeah.
You're right, man. We've got to keep our eye on the ball on this one, because all bets are off. I'm sorry. I'll see myself out. Yeah. I'll see myself out. Seth will run the rest of the show. We'll be back after our news break here on the morning show at WFHR. I'm terrible.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Blame supply and demand for higher egg prices. University of Wisconsin economist Andrew Stevens says this year's bird flu outbreak meant a lot of laying hens had to be euthanized, and it takes about 6 months to replace them. Stevens points out it's also the time of year when more people start baking again, which brings up demand. College students are bucking old trends for low voter turnout. There was a 14 percentage point jump from 2016 to 2020. Young voters say they're motivated by issues like the environment, reproductive rights, and gun safety.
We've been seeing significant numbers of 18 to 24-year-olds now voting in not only presidential elections, but in midterms.
John Marcus reports on higher education for the Heisinger Report. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Because of the hurricanes in the southeast, blood collection efforts have been affected, and more donations are needed in other areas to keep the blood supply stable. You can donate with the Red Cross in Nacusa tomorrow from noon to 5 at Lake Arrowhead, on October 17th from 10 to 3 at McMillan Library, and on October 30th, you can donate at the Nakusa High School from 1 to 6. The Community Blood Center will be collecting at the former East Junior High School on October 15th from 10 to 3 and October 28th from 2 to 7. Work begins at Walden Park this week, and they're looking for volunteers. On Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, starting at 9 a.m., you can help with the installation of the native vegetative mat for the Walden Park Prairie Restoration Project. You'll need to fill out a volunteer form at the Rome Town Hall before coming to the park on 9th Avenue. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers back at practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers installing the game plan for their matchup Sunday against the Cardinals at Lambeau Field. Quarterback Jordan Love has already thrown 5 interceptions this season, but says he knows he can do better.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things you just got to be smart with the ball. You know, you look at last week and we're down, we're trying to make plays. So you're trying to force the ball and things like that. But it just comes down to being smart with the ball, and I got to do a better job with that.
NBA Bucks head coach Doc Rivers says they may have dodged a bullet. New guard Gary Trent Jr., signed from the Raptors, did not need an MRI after suffering a hyperextended elbow against the Pistons. Rivers says he may even be able to play tomorrow night when the Bucks host the Lakers. College basketball, Greg Gard says he's been impressed this summer by sophomore guard John Blackwell, saying he kind of reminds him of former Badger Johnny Davis, who's now in the NBA.
Came back in June. I felt he knew he was the best player on the floor. He wanted to dominate. It's just a competitive mindset to be the best on the floor.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Pat Kreitlow. Thursday morning, we're joined by Tricia Zunker to talk about this weekend's Central Wisconsin Indigenous Peoples Day powwow in Rothschild.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
The top-selling Halloween candies in every state over the past 17 years.
Oh.
Nicely done, Melissa. I'm not sure.
What, were you clearing your throat? What was that?
It was a macabre kind of like.
It really was.
Why the 17 years? That seems a little.
That's arbitrary?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Candystore.com.
When they started making Halloween candy, guys.
Oh, yeah. 17 years definitely 17 years ago.
Weekdays from 8 to 10.
Mostly sunny today with a high right around 70 this afternoon, and the wind today generally light out of the east. Clear tonight, 37. Tomorrow, sunny, 72. On Friday, partly cloudy, 78. But our highs are going to drop into the 50s to low 60s by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. Phone lines are wide open, 715-424-2600. Keep that in mind, because right now we want audience participation on this one. What is a celebrity you could never hate? It seems inevitable that every celebrity disappoints us in some way or another. This is something that we're learning more and more. More and more our celebrities are getting out there and we have more chances to interact with them and hear from them and see them, more mediums are doing a 24/7 cycle of news and information. So you're constantly looking for more and more and more and more. And we're hearing more and more. And, you know, we're discovering more about these people, these individuals that, you know, we didn't know before. Back in the day, you didn't know who people voted for. You know, if there is one subject that I am old man yelling at cloud about, it is people not using their political feelings like sports teams. I don't care. I'm done with it. I'm done.
Yes.
I want you to vote. I want you to be informed.
Right.
Let freedom ring, baby.
How about this? You can give us positions. You say, no, like, I'm for this or I'm against this. That's fine. Yeah. I have no problem with that.
But I don't.
Because that means something.
Yes. But I don't care who you're voting for.
No.
It should be private. It should be. That's the way it was. Was growing
up. Secret ballot, everybody. Secret ballot.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to some of these things that we're learning about celebrities, this can kind of bring it down for some people and raise some people up. Some people, oh, we have this in common. Oh, I don't like you because of this.
Yep.
That's some of the stuff we're dealing with. So it's all the more impressive when you have some artists or some people that are like, oh, I could never hate them.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't imagine disliking them.
Yep.
Seth brought this up earlier. I want to note the date. This is October 9th, 2024, 9:39 on the clock. Because this could change 2 minutes from now.
And to be fair, we're not going to hold it against you. You know, if you call up and say, oh, I think this person is great, and then they turn out to be really horrible. We're not going to do that. No.
And I will say, a lot of these people on this list, it's pretty hard to imagine, but, you know, that's
happened
before.
You never know. But anyway.
Christina Applegate shows up on this list. Many will remember her as Kelly Bundy from Married with Children.
Mm-hmm.
Had a nice movie career as well. She has been in the news recent years for battling cancer and winning and beating it.
Yeah.
A lot of that. I could see that. I could see. She's had a pretty good career. And
had a really fascinating about image.
Mm-hmm.
About what you're supposed to, you know, start where her career started on Married with Children, you know, it hasn't aged well the way she was treated on the show. I mean, like her character was treated on the show, you know, but it's how she's been able to change that, you know, show that she's
that narrative.
Not only is she fabulously smart, she's a very intelligent person, but she's also shown, you know, you don't have to have, you know, a certain look or whatever to be successful.
There's a handful of these, so I'm going to kind of group some of them together, like Pedro Pascal and Jack Black. Couple of actors, been around for a while in the game. Both, in a Pedro Pascal sense, has gotten a real rise to his career in the last couple of years. But very likable people in interviews. And one of the things that's notable about both these guys, they show up in stuff that you would never imagine them showing up in, and they did it for like a buck. Yeah. Like they just do it because they like to work or like to be a part of projects. During the pandemic, Pedro Pascal sat in on a community read-through that they were doing for charity and did the Chevy Chase part. For no reason, just then Dan Harmon reached out to him, but he's like, oh, I love that show. And he just did it, like for free, did nothing. You know, Jack Black has done a lot of that in his career, especially early on in his career, working with Kevin Smith or Bob and Dave from Mr. Show or anything like that. Michael J. Fox.
Yes.
Yeah.
But at this point, we there's nothing that can convince me he's a rotten person.
Right.
I mean, all that he has done. It's really remarkable.
It would take a lot.
It would take a lot.
It would take quite a bit. And this is another one that I feel that way about, and even more so with Betty White.
Mm-hmm.
Now, interesting with people that have passed, you know, sometimes you do hear rumblings or you do hear something that comes up out of the woodwork. But oftentimes it's especially in this day and age where if we had some dirt on Betty White, it would have already come out.
It would have come out already. 100%. No. Yeah.
I have a hard time believing that's ever going to change about Betty White.
No.
You could probably put her on money and you'd be safe. You'd be OK.
You'd be all right.
LeVar Burton. Of course, Reading Rainbow, Star Trek, so many great Roots.
I mean, where he really made his first mark. The genuineness. He's probably one of the most genuine people in Hollywood. You watch him doing documentaries, you know, about doing like Roots or being on Star Trek or something like that. He is earnest. He is honest, and you can just. I mean. It seems so obvious, you know, and I know I get it. You know, he's an actor and he's even in documentaries, you're kind of playing a part kind of thing.
Yeah.
But and the stuff he's done behind the scenes, you know, saving Reading Rainbow, all these things, which he didn't have to do.
Right.
It seems like he's one of the best. Yeah.
I can't stand Twitter, and I'm going to keep calling it Twitter. I'm never calling it X. I really only use it like a lot of people out there because it is still a breaking news source.
It is.
A lot of news breaks on there, and you know, being in an information job, it's important to keep up to date on these things.
Hard not to use it, yeah.
But I go on there and I treat it like Walmart. I try to get in and out as fast as I can. One of my palate cleansers and reasons I go there, I will look at all this news or whatever, blah blah blah, and then my palate cleanser is like LeVar Burton. Where he's on there a lot, and he's just got some wonderful videos and
positive
things that he puts up there.
Stuff, yeah.
Another palate cleanser for me on there is Henry Winkler, who is also on this list.
Yes, yes. Again, he's been around long enough. There's really, you know, nothing in his...
It's fascinating to me to dissect a person's arc of their career, specifically with actors, obviously, because I'm biased. I care about it. It's my wheelhouse. But Henry Winkler's got one of the most unique arcs of any career ever.
It's really true.
He comes out the gate as the coolest guy in the world. Like, he's the coolest guy on TV. And he's wrapping up his career playing these doofs and these silly, you know, slapstick characters and everything in Adam Sandler movies or in Arrested Development or something like that. And he's so adored, so loved. Mm-hmm. When's the last time you heard somebody, I don't know about Henry Winkler. Like, you've never heard that. You've never heard somebody say that. Julie Andrews. Jeez. Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's a pretty safe one.
No, I hate Julie Andrews. She's awful. Right? Yeah. She's one of the worst person. No.
Julie Andrews could shoot you in the foot, and you'd still be like,
she's not bad.
She didn't mean to. She didn't mean it. She's something.
Yep.
Weird Al Yankovic. I can see that one. He's a pretty hard guy to hate.
I mean, seriously, is there a more respected musician?
That's a great question.
I mean, it's always been obvious he's very talented as a musician. I mean, and that comes across. He's also a pretty good actor. Man, check out the old Weird Al show, man.
UHF.
He was really good in that. UHF.
UHF, man. Oh, I loved UHF. Oh, I love that movie. Horrible movie, but I loved
it. It's not great, no. But it's still fun.
And Ki-Yung Kwan, from, of course, a child actor in Indiana Jones.
Took a lot of time off. Didn't want to be an actor and then kind of jumped in. Man, did he explode back into the scene? And again, one of those guys that, I mean, he's so thankful for where he is. He's just, the gratitude just oozes out of him. And man, he's great to listen to talk to.
I get goosebumps thinking about him and his career.
Yeah.
Like how cool that is. That's an Oscar winner now. You know?
Oscar winner.
Data is an Oscar winner.
Oh, my God. He is, the role he did in Loki, the second season. Oh, my God. He was so good in that.
He stole the show, man.
He did.
He stole scenes from people in that one. He was good. And now we're down to our top five.
Okay.
Keanu Reeves comes in at number five. Yeah. Easy. That's an easy one.
For someone they've tried
to
find the stuff on, and there's nothing to find.
You are not going to find, especially if you do a deep dive looking for bad stuff, all you're going to find is even stories like, you make him even cooler. For those that don't know, Keanu Reeves has lived in Hawaii for like 30, 40 years, something like that. And all over the island of Hawaii, there are stories of him. Like somebody couldn't pay for their transmission to be fixed or something, and he just showed up and and paid for it. Buying people's groceries, these things. He doesn't take a selfie every time he does this stuff. He just does it.
Yep.
Like, that just seems like that maybe of everybody on this list as far as current working actors and popular names and everything would be the biggest shocker to me. Mm-hmm. Just because I've followed his whole career from the very beginning.
Yep.
And he's been like this his whole life. Even before he was a made actor, River Phoenix talked about this, how they're sitting there on set of My Own Private Idaho, and it's an independent film. There's not a lot of money. A lot of these extras are doing working extra hours and everything. Keanu Reeves is going over there. Hey, do you need me to hold that for you? Like, do you need me to hold the boom for you for this scene or things like that? Like, this is
a genuinely nice person.
Yeah. Yeah. Number four on the list, Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an interesting one to me because what I was saying earlier about Betty White, I am the biggest Robin Williams fan in the world.
Right.
Next to his kids, there's nobody that loved that man like I did.
Yep.
And I will be the last person to ever say he was perfect. Like, oh, yeah. Robin had his troubles. Robin had his struggles.
And he was very honest about those troubles, as a matter of fact.
And that's why I think that he is still so loved.
Yep.
It's you can talk for days about his acting, how many times he made us laugh in stand-up or movies or anything like that. But Robin Williams never put on airs.
Nope.
He, as much as he always walked into, like, that's who he was.
Yeah.
His kids talk about, like, sitting there at the dinner table and stuff and him losing his mind and going all acting all crazy and stuff. Like, this is who he was. This wasn't an act.
No.
And that kind of person was also the same kind of person, if you watched his stand-up specials, was very genuine and very honest about his trials and tribulations. Mm-hmm. He learned a lot of that from Richard Pryor. Richard Pryor
was also very honest about it. Yep.
Game changer when it comes to mental health and being honest about who you are.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to dig up dirt on Richard Pryor. It's all in the Sunset Strip. Like, go ahead and watch maybe the greatest stand-up comedy special of all time, Live on the Sunset Strip. I think it may be the greatest stand-up special of all time, Live on the Sunset Strip.
Yep.
And in that one, you're going to get a biography on Richard Pryor and everything. I think it's
hilarious.
It's so funny.
And it's so funny.
It's so funny.
And Robin Williams, same way. And that's the thing. The thing I got from him is that watching his stand-up, that you're absolutely right. That was all him. That was just the way he was.
Yeah.
These little asides and then, you know, the going with the joke and doing a little left turn or something like that. That's the way he was.
There was nobody and will never be anybody like Robin. Mr. Rogers comes in at number three.
No, there was nothing. He was genuinely, that's who he was. Again, that's who he was. That's
Fred Rogers was an incredible human being.
Yes, he was.
An incredible human being that we miss all the time.
Yep.
And just thankful that we got to grow up in a time we got to see Mr. Rogers. Chadwick Boseman shows up here. Black Panther for many out there. And Jackie Robinson and so many things.
Again, you hear about what he did when he was alive. One of my favorite moments of his, when he was talking about, he knew, and we didn't know it, but at the time he knew he was dying of cancer, and he was talking about seeing people going in there and how choked up he got about the effect that, you know, his presence had on them. Oh, that's one of the most moving things that you can ever watch.
What we were talking about some of these guys, and I think the big thing that almost all of these individuals have in common, they get it. They appreciate what they have.
Exactly.
They appreciate, and they haven't forgotten their roots.
Nope.
Chadwick was a big one on that. And for having a short career and too short of a life, my God, what an almost perfect IMDb page. It's almost
brilliant.
Perfect. There are almost no bad performances, no bad movies. Like, man, it's incredible to see that. It's like throwing a perfect game, what he did there. It's just an incredible career.
Yep.
And number one on the list, Dolly Parton.
Ah, of course.
Of course.
Of course the Dolly's on there, man.
Not only an individual, like a lot of the things we've said, not only forgotten her roots, but also has owned all of her life, the good, the bad,
the gray, all
of it.
Yep.
But it continues. Literally this past week, we just did a story on Dolly Parton giving to charities or giving to her charity or doing good work. I almost feel like you could hear something bad about her, and with all the goodwill she's had, we're like, that's Dolly.
You know, especially with the top five here, I think we've kind of hit a little theme. Mm. These are the people that are honest. These are the people that they're all willing to, you know, own. They know what they are. They know they're a celebrity. And they know that they don't have to come out with, you know, their foibles and stuff, but they're willing to do it, maybe to help someone else, maybe just to be, you know, put your cards on the table kind of thing.
Yeah.
That all of them are the same way. And I think that's why people like them so much.
It's a pretty cool list. That's a good
it
list.
Is.
That's a good
we'll take
list.
Take it.
We will check back in a week and see if we are still right.
Safe list, actually, I think.
It feels pretty safe. We'll be back with more fun on the morning show here at WFHR.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year opened with a Packers-Bears game.
It became Lambeau Field in 1965 following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
Ready, set, go. Get in the game and be heard with WFHR's Playmakers. Join us 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're here to take your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players, coaches, and you. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Join the team here at WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, 5 to 6 p.m. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for WFHR's Playmakers.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'll be talking to Attorney General Eric Holder. We'll discuss Trump's unchecked power grab under Project 2025 and Vice President Harris's new way forward. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Mostly sunny today with a high right around 70 this afternoon, and the wind today generally light out of the east. Clear tonight, 37. Tomorrow, sunny, 72. On Friday, partly cloudy, 78. But our highs are going to drop into the 50s to low 60s. By the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 51.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a good day out there. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a great show.
It has been
a really good
one today.
Appreciate all the calls and everything.
Yep.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand.
I mean, there's not a lot of meat in Chinese food. You wouldn't imagine that a werewolf would like Chinese food.
Is there any more artist that was weirder than Warren Zevon? I mean, in terms of his lyrics.
Yeah.
He did some really strange lyrics, but it's not a bad thing. I mean, you know, weirdness does result in creativity. So
I will say, I think weird and popular.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're going to top Frank Zappa. I don't know. Zappa's up there.
He's got to be the apex of that.
Pretty close. But
Warren Zevon's on that list.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I see what you're saying there. I wanted to get to wrap up the show with some good stories here, and got a couple of really good ones for you. We'll get into some world's good stories, and then we'll touch on our local stuff and see where we wrap up.
All right.
Two best friends in Florida found out they were pregnant at the same time and ended up giving birth on the same day.
Oh, wow.
In the same hospital.
Okay. That makes sense.
Their due dates were 8 days apart, but that's just how it worked out.
But
the first one had her baby just after midnight, and then she got moved, and the second friend gave birth in the same delivery room.
Oh, it was even the same room. Oh, wow. Okay.
Both had very healthy baby boys.
Aw, glad to hear that. That's cool, though.
That's a cool story. That's a very cool story.
They're bonded for life now.
Yeah, yeah. Those kids are growing up together.
Mm, yep.
The Associated Press did a big feature on a group of South Korean women who learned to read and write in their 80s and formed a rap group.
Whoa, that took a left turn.
You guys got to read this story, man. It is so good. Read up on Sunny and the Seven Princesses. They become big celebrities over there in South Korea.
Love it.
So they do some really cool creative stuff in South Korea, by the way.
They do.
Especially with what they have to work with and everything. Yeah. It's impressive.
And their bat flips alone are impressive. Right, right. Got to tell you.
So true. But these ladies are amazing. They're fantastic. And I enjoy the rap, and it's fun and everything. But, I mean, again, learning to read and write in their 80s.
Hey.
Just impressive.
Never too old, man.
That's so impressive. Old. And a small dog in England fell into a deep crack between two rocks, and volunteers worked for a week to save her.
Wow.
She is a Jack Russell named Rose, and she slipped through a 12-inch gap and was stuck for about 40 feet down. They had to use heavy machinery to chip away at the rock, but refused to quit, even when officials told them it was too dangerous and that they should just kind of, you know,
let the dog go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They did not give up on this dog, and they saved her.
Wow. How about that?
And Rose immediately thanked them by licking everybody. Because she's a dog.
That's she's a dog, and that's what they do.
That's what they do. That's what they do. But I can't imagine that being a part of that situation and actually saving the dog. You know, that's pretty darn cool.
Mm-hmm.
We got a pretty cool lineup for you today. Be sure to join us 4 to 5 from Midday Magazine in part 1. We got family joining us, Stephen and Katrina Hintner from Family Natural Foods.
All right.
Looking forward to hanging out with them. I want to hear a little bit of a recap of how their great specials went over the weekend and everything.
Their appreciation sale, yep.
They had such a good event going on this
weekend. They do it so well, man.
Nobody does it like they do. We're looking forward to hanging out with them later. And at 4:30 today, Kim Shields from Encourage will be with us.
Ooh.
And she's bringing Kathy Stebbins-Hines in. We're going to talk about the 3-0 day board, and a couple of other great things about
Very
Encourage.
Nice.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
A little bit later today, we will have Playmakers for you.
Mm-hmm.
5 to 6, join us for Playmakers, our sports call-in show that is brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Join us for that, and a little bit afterwards, 7:05, Luke Fickell Show, right here.
Find out the big win, about the big win, and what's coming up.
And it's a Wednesday. You know what that means?
Bingo!
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 Bingo was his name-o. At the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, join them for bingo every Wednesday. Doors open at 5. Bingo kicks off at 6:30 at 430 West Jackson Street, right here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
Support local, everybody, and support those that support this community like the Elks Lodge does.
Absolutely.
Our good friends at the Cowboy Union Jam going to be jamming tonight over at the Fine Arts Center at McMillan Library from 1 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
Join them this afternoon for that. Come and enjoy community favorites. The Cowboy Union Jam are some of the better artists we have in this area.
Yes, they're a lot of fun.
Be sure to check them out, everybody.
Yep.
And Seth, want to remind people about the United Way and what they're doing.
Day of Caring is coming up, everyone. Make sure you get your team together. It's happening October 26th. You can get a free breakfast over at the Lions Club in Grand Rapids. And, of course, get your team to rake some lawns. The breakfast starts at 8. Raking starts at 9 o'clock. And you get a free T-shirt while supplies last. So make sure you sign up early so you can get your red. Is it red this year?
Yes.
Red shirt this year. I always love it when they do that.
Yeah,
one more quick thing. Book sale tomorrow, everybody, starts at 8:30 at the church. So make sure you head on over there for the book sale. Starts up tomorrow.
Yeah, get over there, everybody.
Yeah.
Make sure to do so. We'll remind you tomorrow on the show. I don't know where my sheet went for that.
We'll find it.
I should have hit on that. I do want to remind everybody as well, the city of Wisconsin Rapids has their community engagement events going on. They have a couple of these. One of them happening today over at 5 to 7 over at McMillan Library from 5 to 7 today. Head on over there. Be a part of the community engagement event. This is where you can give feedback about the revitalization of the downtown area. Online or in person, be a part of this event. Find out more at wirapids.org.
Wirapids.org.
Yep. Again, this is going 5 to 7 tonight at McMillan Library.
Yep. Very cool.
Spread the word about these events, everybody, and get us these events so we can cover them for you here on the station. Seth, great show today.
It was fun.
You guys have a good day out there. Be good to each other. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.